Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Question for you. Do you consider it to be rude to gift someone cosmetics or toiletries?
Give me a scenario.
Christmas. And you're gifted, you know, like a bath set. You know, a body wash, a moisturizer kind of thing.
Okay, first off, I'd turn around and say, what a thoughtless fucking present.
I'm not talking about like the Lynx Africa set. I'm talking about, you know, like guys aren't gifted as much, but like a little basket full of, you know, bath bomb and what have you, you know.
Well, first off, I'd say, you fucking prick, I don't have a bath. I only have a stand-up shower. So what the fuck am I going to do with the bath bomb?
They're actually making fun of you for not having a bath.
Yeah.
They're antagonizing you.
Yeah. Like, what do they expect me to do? In a stand-up shower, just have a bath bomb going off at my feet?
Just scrape it across your body and hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, do not ever get me a bath set.
Yeah, but you're kind of more thinking practically for you. I mean, because some people think it's like an insult. They think it's like, oh, you're saying a stink, that kind of thing.
Right. I know where you're getting this from. I know what's triggered this.
No, but this is something I think about all the time. Not all the time. It's not like plaguing me. But every time I hear, because you hear people say it regularly enough, it's like an insult. It's like, I think, calm down. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's a gift for you. It's something for you personally, something for you to enjoy.
No. So as a Christmas present or a birthday present, no, I don't see anything wrong with it. But showing up to someone's house for a dinner, you know, and instead of bringing a bottle of wine, you give them a bottle of fucking shower gel.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, I think at that point I'd be like, the fuck are you giving me that for?
Yeah.
You know, getting me for Christmas. Don't come to my house telling me I fucking stink.
Okay, but basically Neil's getting that from is we were watching Come Dine With Me. We're going through a phase here, lads. Yeah. Everyone does it. It gets the best of you. Everyone reruns those Come Dine With Me phases.
Yeah.
And if you haven't watched it, go fucking watch it.
British Bake Off will be next.
I never watched it. I've watched like clips here and there.
Yeah.
But never got into it.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, we're watching Come Dine With Me. Woman shows up to the house and instead of giving her a bottle of wine or flowers or, you know, what have you, she gives her a body wash and a body lotion.
Yeah, or an oil or some.
Or a body oil or, yeah, whatever it was. And your one was immediate like, what, you're saying a fucking stink? And I was like, she wasn't saying that. Do you know what I mean? I thought you were being deliberately difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you honestly get a bit offended if it was like a dinner party and someone brought it?
I'd be like, right, hang on a minute. I might have a bit of a fucking pong to me, but I've been outside.
You've been cooking all day.
I've been outside digging. I've fucking, you know, I've raked up all the fucking pebbles. You know,
no,
I'm going to have a bit
about?
Of a fucking smell to me.
What are you talking about?
Like, it's all right in your little world.
No, you're getting off topic now. You're talking about what you've done today. You've been out in the garden doing some work.
Yeah.
You can't do this, Neil. You've just equated it to a dinner party.
Yeah.
You can't just flip-flop back and forth to suit your narrative.
All right.
Why you're offended.
They come round for a dinner party after I've been in the garden digging and raking up pebbles.
No. It doesn't work that way. You can't just throw anything in you want to, you know, further your fucking argument. Someone's not popping around to the gaff today and just being like, here, I got you some body wash. You fucking stink. Your issue was at a dinner party. The gift at a dinner party is like, a bath set or whatever.
Look, like I can drink wine, but I'm not a massive wine drinker.
You can drink it.
Yeah.
You down a glass in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grotesque.
No, it's impressive.
Okay.
I can drink wine like it's pop. But if you don't want to bring a bottle of wine, bring me a bottle of Corona. Bring me a bottle. This is what I'm saying. Do not bring me a bottle of fucking shower gel. Bring me a bottle of Budweiser. Like, bring something normal.
So you find it offensive to gift someone toiletries?
I'm offended.
Yeah, yeah. On her behalf.
Yes.
But Christmas, you don't mind?
No, because it's just, right, Christmas is like a general gift.
It's
for you to use whenever you want.
Yeah.
Whereas you're coming around and going, you need this.
No, right, okay, but I think you're getting bogged down in that one instance. I'm talking about generally gifting.
Hmm.
I can understand if you took an issue with the dinner party thing, because it's a little bit of an odd gift for a dinner party. Generally, for your birthday or Christmas or what have you, do you take it as an insult to be gifted toiletries and or cosmetics?
No. Not Christmas. No.
What about your birthday? Oh, that's not on.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there as well.
Why?
I don't know. You wouldn't for someone's birthday. See, you're a bird, so it's different. You're asking a lad. You know, we're used to getting, you know, at Christmas, socks, shower gel, you know, a Lynx
set. I like getting socks.
Nivea set, shit like
that. I've asked for socks for my birthday this year, actually, so.
Yeah. You've asked for it. We're used to getting that Christmas, but we don't get that on a birthday. We shouldn't.
You shouldn't?
No. No, birthdays is more fun stuff like gadgets and stuff like that. Tools, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Birthdays is more of a piss take. That's where you would get me like, a whoopee cushion.
What? That's Christmas.
No.
When you get like silly little presents.
No.
Birthday. Stocking stuffers. No. What are you talking
Christmas
about?
Christmas is more thoughtful gifts.
You're insane.
Birthdays is like gadgets and fun stuff.
I view it the complete opposite. Your birthday is very personal to you. Christmas, everyone's getting gifts. You never heard of a stocking stuffer?
Yeah, no, that's different to a gift.
No, it's not. It's a gift.
No, it's a stocking stuffer. That's completely fucking different. That's where you put an orange and stuff like that. You know? But like, right.
The gift of vitamin C.
This is what I mean. So for instance, this Christmas and my next birthday. So Christmas, you might buy me, say, an upgraded barbecue. But for my birthday, you'll give me a rub. Like an Angus and Oink.
Yeah.
Rub.
No, I get you're trying to basically on Patreon, there's been a lot of discussion about Neil rubbing himself. It mutilated.
Yeah.
And it's took on its own thing.
Yeah.
Everyone loves talking about Neil rubbing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was more talking about like, you know, dirty cow and...
Beg your pardon?
Pegasus.
Pegasus.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like...
We're not sponsored, by the way, Neil.
No, I've been trying.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's what I mean. You know, Christmas is a more thoughtful, big gesture, whereas birthdays, it is like, yeah, you can have that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
No, I think it's the opposite. A birthday is more personalized to the person. It's about their birthday. Whereas Christmas is like, I'm not saying it's not thoughtful, but it's everyone's getting gifts. And there's literally stocking stuffers, which are just small. Little, like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was all like the little gifts of like, you know, like a slinky or fucking, you said whoopee cushion or, you know, those kind of like little fun, silly gifts.
Yeah. Oh, I must have got wrong end of stick.
I feel that way.
You got the wrong end of stick.
I feel like you did.
Oh.
I think it's odd that you're saying a birthday is not like a personal thing, yeah. But Christmas is. A day that huge amounts of people are celebrating, but a birthday, which is, again, specific to you. You're like, oh, it's not important.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. But listeners, Team Neil or Team Megan on this one?
Why does it always have to be like me versus you?
Because you always go against me.
No, but what are you asking them?
Join me, won't you?
Yeah.
And then
I'm asking the question of, you know, I'll ask the listeners, are you offended if someone gifts you like a toiletry set? Is that, do you consider that offensive? Whereas you seem to be asking them Christmas or birthdays, which is, you know, me or Meg, pick a side.
Yeah, but this is what we do. We evolve. We move what? On.
Mutate is the word I would choose.
So, confrontation aside,
mm-hmm.
We have a shout out.
We do, sort of. We don't have our usual patron shout out this week. Not doing that.
Mm.
But I tell you what we do have, Neil. We're going to read a review. Because apparently, me being a bit more...
Twat.
Yeah, a bit more ignorant and aggressive.
Yeah.
Telling you is to just fucking leave us a review.
Yeah.
It actually worked. It paid off.
All right.
You appreciated the ignorance of myself and a bit of you. You jumped in as well.
Yeah, we'll amp it up this time then.
Yeah. Okay, so...
We might get a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So one of the reviews we got was from The Best Out There. They said, my fave pod, leaving my review like you told me to do after the Daniel Lee episode. Huh?
Bit full of himself, aren't they? The best out there.
Good for them. It's good to have confidence.
No, I'm guessing they mean us. We're the best out there.
Well, no, it's their name.
Well, again, they're very full of themselves.
I mean, confidence is key.
Yeah, good on you.
Anyway, they said they're leaving their review like we told them to do after the Daniel Lee episode. But truly, this podcast is the perfect true crime podcast while also making you truly laugh the whole time. Their banter is so funny, but they are still respectful of the families and cover the cases in an amazing way.
We have to be for legal reasons.
Love when they talk about us Americans. Thank you. Love y'all.
Y'all. All right, so they're American. Well, thank you, the best out there.
We appreciate you. I do think it's funny, though. I actually love that. I was like, why are we kind of being like, oh, guys, could you leave a review, please, and thank you? Why don't we just be rude? And it worked.
Yeah.
You guys appreciate that, apparently. Mm. Or at least some of yous do. Sure, fuck it. While we're here, we read another one.
We got another?
Yeah, we got another one. So this one is from Babsy Louise.
That British.
I would take a guess.
Babsy.
Babsy.
Yeah.
Sounds it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So she said, absolutely love this podcast. The banter between them both is hilarious. As a cleaner, I listen to podcasts to help the day go quick. And this is one of my top picks. Thanks, guys.
One of.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that people are listening to us, you know, when they're getting on with their job, trying to just fucking power through it.
Oh,
I find
yeah.
It makes the day go by a lot quicker. If you're listening to us,
Yeah.
If you're listening to a podcast at work,
mm.
Or trying to get through the housework or something like that.
I'd be very careful. Like, make sure you're wearing earbuds listening to us.
Well, yeah, no.
Some of the shite you come out with.
Me?
Yeah. No.
There's a lot of talk of penis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what do they mean, one of? Don't they mean the best podcast? Well, thank you, Louise.
We appreciate you.
Right. So now we're going to amp it up a bit. I'm fucking getting involved now.
Okay.
Lads, if you haven't left a rating or review, like, you're just pissing us off. Right, you don't even have to say anything nice. You could tell us how annoying we are, how shit we are. Like, as long as you give us 5 stars, you know, be brutal.
Yeah.
Be fucking brutal in the review. Yeah, like, it is sometimes nice to read something nice, but, yeah, you know, comment on the weird, disgusting shit what Megan comes out with. And
what?
But then you could also talk about how sophisticated, you know, I am as a co-host. Mm-hmm. How much I, you know, bounce and keep it moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but then be brutal. You know, say Neil's accent.
I hate that northern twat. Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, right. That fucking...
Don't be saying anything negative about the Irish. We've been through too much.
No, fuck that. Mick Megan.
Oh.
That fucking Mick Megan.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
Knuckle Dragger Neil. Yeah. Knuckle Dragger Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see the comments in the Facebook group and Patreon now. Now you've said that. So thanks for that.
I think we've said it before. You're the one who actually gave me that. I didn't realise that yous were quite often referred to as knuckle draggers, but, you know, cool. I'll take it.
Only by fucking southerners.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying it to you as if, like, it's a good one, isn't it?
But it is a good one, though, yeah. Is the problem.
But yeah, no. If you can leave a rating or review, it'd be really helping us out.
Mick, Megan, and Knuckle Dragger Neil.
Yeah.
Did I say that weird? Knuckle...
You say everything weird.
Knuckle Dragger Neil.
Yeah.
Would really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, what have you got for us today?
Well, today, Neil, we are going to be talking about Leonard John Fraser.
Pick a fucking name.
I kept struggling with this. For some reason, I kept wanting to say John Lennon Fraser.
Yeah, because of Beatles.
Well, obviously, because of John Lennon. But I don't know why. Leonard John doesn't sound right to me.
No, none of it does. Leonard, it's three first names.
But John Lennon kept, you know...
Oh, Fraser. So he's Scottish.
No. Sorry, actually, yes. So he is Australian, but his heritage is Scottish.
Yeah, Fraser's Scottish. What are you looking at? No, it is.
I didn't say it wasn't. But I'm Irish, but my surname isn't Irish.
No, but what I'm saying is that's why I assumed Scottish, because Fraser is a Scottish.
No, we're going back to Australia today. If you remember from our last episode, Leonard John Fraser was the serial killer who was charged for the murder of Natasha Ryan.
Oh, scrawny twat.
You looked up a photo of him.
Yeah.
Good, because that's what I was going to say. You had this thing in that episode about how all Australians are tanned. And I was saying, well, no, like some Australians deliberately stay out of the sun because it's so fucking hot. It's so intense.
Yeah. And I said they all have mullets.
Now, Leonard's in his own category because he's not pale. He's not tanned. He's lobster red. He is the face of a smacked arse.
Irish.
He's not Irish.
No, he looks Irish.
Do you think?
Yeah. No, no, like, that's not me trying to take the piss.
Well, actually, like, it actually is.
I'm not trying to take the mick, you know. You put an Irish person out in the sun, they go red. They go lobster red.
Says the Brit. Now, in regards to Leonard's appearance. Now, you know I'm not one who would usually use words like evil or monster to describe killers.
Yeah.
I think... You know, it makes him sound somewhat, you know, mythical or removed from reality. And I think it takes away from the fact that, you know, it's quite often the quote-unquote normal everyday person. It doesn't do anyone any favours to let their guard down.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
But having said that, if ever there was a man who looked like a rapist, Leonard is just that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a bit like Larry Murphy.
Oh, I was going to say, I believe Leonard is second only to Jimmy Savile. So yeah. You try to turn back on the Irish again. You don't get to do that when you've got Jimmy Savile on your side of the fucking fence.
Yeah. Speaking of Jimmy Savile, you looked shocked when I said this. So yesterday, Megan, you know, she treated us to a takeaway. She treated us to a pizza. And a common thing... What they say in Ireland, I don't know why they fucking say it. So I went down to the delivery driver and he said, "Ah, it's you yourself." And it's like, I don't know what you're supposed to say to that. So I went, "It's better than it being Jimmy Savile."
That's not what you said to me.
That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said to me, because you told me, you came back in, you said something about Jimmy Savile. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know why you said that. Because you said he reacted weird to it.
Oh, his face. His face changed.
If you had said to me last night what you just said now, I'd understand. But what you said to me last night, I was like, no wonder he pulled a face. Why are you bringing up Jimmy Savile? You said something slightly different to me when you repeated it back.
I must have got it wrong. But that's what I said.
Are you sure? Because yes. You said he reacted quite odd to it as well.
Oh, yeah, he did. Stunned. As soon as the name Jimmy Savile came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
His face, like his whole demeanor changed.
Well, you being a Brit, maybe, and you're, you know, from a similar area, maybe you thought you were saying you're related to him or something.
Do I look like I'm related to
him? You've got Jimmy Savile and Sutcliffe in your bloodline. Is that what you're telling me right now?
Yeah.
This is getting a bit much, Neil.
Right, so Leonard.
Who?
Leonard.
What did you just say, Leonard?
I said, right, so Leonard.
You did, didn't you?
I fucking might have.
Yeah. Leonard.
Yeah.
John Fraser.
Lenny. Len boy.
Len. Lenny. The Len.
Yeah. Oh my God, we have a Leonard on Patreon, don't we?
Len. Yes.
Is it Leonard?
Leonard. Leonard? Yeah. I actually said at the time of the shout out, I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm bastardizing your name.
Len.
Len.
Yeah.
Different Len. Let's get into it. Leonard John Fraser was born on the 27th of June, 1951 in Ingham, Queensland. And he was the fourth of five children born to Agnes and George Fraser. His mother was a stay-at-home parent, and his father was a World War II veteran and machinist whose work often took him away from the family home. In 1957, Leonard and his family moved to Sydney. Academically, Leonard was said to have struggled and was described as having below average intelligence. It was said that he could easily erupt in anger. And I didn't hear this mentioned a lot, but it was said that he was quite self-conscious due to a speech impediment as a child. At around 14 years of age, Leonard leaves school and enters the workforce.
Can I just say, before you even get into it, I don't want to hear if a woman has took the piss out of him because of his stammer, that's what turned him the way it did.
But that's why I specifically mentioned there. I don't know if that is true. I did hear it mentioned, but not repeatedly.
Right.
In 1966, at the age of 15, Leonard was sent to a boys' home for 12 months after he was caught stealing. So an apology to you, Neil. In the last episode, you said...
I said what?
You said that, oh, he's a burglar. And I went, no. That was before I looked into his backstory.
Yeah.
So he actually was a bit of a robber.
And
you were on the money.
And so my mum weren't lying. There's a naughty boys' home.
There are many boys' homes, yes.
Yeah.
Not so, the one. She was just bringing you to an abandoned factory in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of.
If you're a new listener or fairly new, back in day, we hadn't been going that long. We were discussing, but my mum used to threaten me with the naughty boys' home. If I told her to fuck off as a kid or something, she'd be like, right, that's it. Do that again and you go into the naughty boys' home. And it got to the point where she drove me out to some warehouse saying, are you sorry? Or are you going in there? We actually had listeners commenting going, yeah, my parents.
No, but no one said there was not homes for boys. We were saying that your mother and other people's mothers were fabricating locations to scare their children.
So there is naughty boys' homes?
Not worded like that, but essentially, yes.
Right.
Did you think it just wasn't true at all?
No, I knew they were like juvenile prisons.
Yeah.
But I didn't know there was a naughty boys' home.
It's not officially termed naughty boys' home.
You just called it a
boys' home.
For naughty boys?
No, that's you adding to it.
Right.
Are we on the same page now?
So it's not a hostel, sort of?
No, it's not a hostel.
Are they free to go?
No. You're free to go from a hostel.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm asking about this.
Unless it's the hostel in the movie, then it's not so great.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, while at the, as Neil would say, naughty boys' home, it was said that Leonard was sexually assaulted by some of the older boys. And in turn, Leonard would then abuse those younger than him. So it seems his experience in this place really started to harden Leonard and warp his view on reality.
Yeah, like, that is a weird way to think, oh, something bad's happened to me, so I'm literally going to do it to the next generation.
I mean, we've had this argument many a time. The people who tend to argue for hitting your kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's the people who were beat when they were kids, and it tends to go one way or the other. I will never do that to my child, or I'm going to do it to you because it was done to me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Leonard took this approach.
Mm.
What are you laughing at?
No, I'm not laughing. But he could have started a trend in the naughty boys' home. So bad things happened to him by the older lads.
Yeah.
But then when he started doing it to younger lads. If he didn't...
Bad things is the most downplayed way of describing sexual assault.
I don't like saying anything like that.
Sexual assault.
Yeah.
But you know, I use the term sexual assault as not to go into detail of what's been happening, not to use some specific words.
But we know what.
Yeah. But put it this way, if, you know, if it was you who was in the situation, would you necessarily want someone to give certain details or describe you in a certain, use certain terminology? Yeah. That's why sexual assault is kind of just, look, you know.
What I was going to say is, if he hadn't done it to the younger generation,
yeah,
might have made that place a bit more bearable. Like, yeah, it wouldn't have carried on. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, you stop the cycle,
yeah,
is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1968, Leonard was convicted for the assault of a railway officer in New South Wales. He was released on probation. In 1969, he's caught for stealing a car and driving without a license. In 1970, he's fined again, unlicensed driving as well as offensive behaviour and street fighting. In 1972, Leonard is convicted for living off the money earned by sex workers. And around this time, Leonard was drinking more and started to dabble in drugs. Shockingly, he soon faced charges. Sorry, do you want to say something?
Yeah, sorry. So you know when he said living off money from sex workers?
Mm-hmm.
So was he a pimp?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I didn't know if you meant he'd been robbing sex workers.
No, it was worded as like living off the money. He was convicted for that. So I'm guessing in terms of his charge,
right,
that's what he's being charged for. They're not like, you're charged for being a pimp.
Yeah, okay.
Now, shockingly, he soon faced charges again. In 1972, Leonard was sentenced to 5 years in prison for robbery. He was paroled in 1974, and less than 2 weeks following his release, Leonard commits a sexual assault on a woman and two further attempted sexual assaults. During one of these attacks, Leonard drops his wallet, which contained his name and address.
Hold on.
Well, the thing is here, right, I assume in the form of ID, but we sure as fuck know it wasn't a driving license.
Yeah. And it probably wasn't a blood donor card either.
After his arrest, Leonard admits to having sexually assaulted a French tourist in 1972, an attack which was so brutal, it reportedly left the woman unable to conceive.
Fucking hell.
For these string of attacks, Leonard was sentenced to 21 years. In 1981, Leonard is released after serving his minimum sentence of 7 years.
Fuck!
Yeah, guys, can we stop letting rapists out of prison?
Yeah.
Please, like, come on.
Yeah. Like, I'm so happy, but people have, people have been commenting on the last episode, you know, where I was saying about prisoners getting released early on good behaviour when they've been convicted of sexually assaulting women.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no women for him to sexually assault. What do you expect him to fucking do?
Yeah, I mean, for me as well, like, the murder, you know, violent crimes.
Yeah.
And for me personally, like, sexually motivated attacks.
Yeah.
They're all the worst of the worst, and I don't think they should even be considered for good behaviour.
Yeah.
You're in there, you're fucking staying in there.
Yeah. You know, you could be, it don't even have to be violent. You could be in prison for twacking women's handbags off them in the street. You can't release them early. They're not going to rob a bloke. They ain't got the plums to rob a bloke.
I kind of put it in a different category, though. That's upsetting and it's not nice.
Mm.
But robbing an item compared to trying to harm a person. Do you get what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a different category. You know, like, some people are sent to prison and it's kind of, they can be rehabilitated. There's other people who are sent to prison and it's, you have to be off the street for other people's safety.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm. 7 years.
Seven.
That's
no good. And following his release, Leonard moves to Mackay, Queensland, where he finds work as a labourer. A year later, Leonard arrives at the home of a woman under the guise of viewing the car she had up for sale. He attacks the woman within her home and was later sentenced to 2 months.
Australia, what the fuck?
What are we doing here, lads? You know, I would think that's a bit lenient, even if it was his first offence. Never mind a fucking history of violent offences.
Yeah. Fuck me. I thought our sentencing were bad. That's... Australia needs to sort that out.
Well, here's the thing, Neil. Up until this point, Leonard has been completely and utterly acting the bollocks.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say. But now, Leonard fancies a change. So he has a word with the man in the mirror and tells him to cop on. He meets a woman named Pearl Rigby, and the pair enter into a relationship. It seems Pearl didn't know of Leonard's past, and he took this as an opportunity to sort of, you know, have a fresh start.
Mm.
They move into a flat together. He gained full-time employment with Queensland Rail, and the couple welcomed a daughter together, as well as Leonard becoming a stepfather to Pearl's son. But Leonard being Leonard goes back to his old, horrifying ways.
With the kids?
No.
Okay.
You know, if Leonard hadn't been such a, ferociously dangerous rapist, you know, say it was just the odd bit of theft here and there, even the odd street fight, you'd like to be able to turn a blind eye to that. You know, maybe this could have been the end to the story. The end of it. It's a nice ending. He's finally copped on. He's settled down.
Yeah.
Again, if he hadn't.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at me funny right now.
It's just my face.
If he hadn't done that. But look, you already know that's not going to be the case. In 1985, Leonard spends a few days stalking a 21-year-old woman as she took her walks along the beach. He eventually attacks the woman and sexually assaults her in broad daylight. Police quickly identify Leonard as the suspect because, fucking of course, it was Leonard.
Mm.
His relationship with Pearl ends and he was sentenced to 12 years in prison.
Served two.
No, Leonard does actually serve his full term this time.
Huh.
And during this stint in prison, Leonard is given the nickname Lenny the Loon. Quite fitting, I would argue. Also, can I just say, poor Pearl, can you fucking imagine police showing up at your door and not only telling you what he had done, but that he had been doing this for years and you had no idea?
Yeah.
And you've got kids within the home. So, like I said, for this period of incarceration, Leonard did actually serve his full sentence. And after his release, in January of 1997, he makes his way to Yeppoon, Queensland, where he moves in with a woman named Marie, who'd been his pen pal while he was in prison. Now, Marie was terminally ill with cancer, and she would travel to Brisbane for her treatment, and Leonard would go with her. It was within this hospital in Brisbane where Leonard locked Marie into the chapel and sexually assaulted her.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I believe he did this after she had told him that she would not be returning home. She was going to be staying in the hospital, and I assume this meant that Leonard would have to move out.
Right.
Marie actually did pass away not long after this.
But she was able to report it.
I mean, yeah, we know about it.
Oh, no, I didn't know if he's come forward after the fact.
So, as you know from the last episode, Leonard did confess to some things.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff he clearly doesn't speak about or doesn't want to speak about, certain elements.
And this is one.
I can't see him wanting to admit to this, can you?
No.
So after the attack on Marie, Leonard then moves to Mount Morgan near Rockhampton. While there, Leonard continues to sexually assault women, and it was said that he would target women with disabilities. This was until he was eventually run out of town after he was spotted dragging a woman from a bar towards his home after having spiked her drink. It was in late 1998 that Leonard moved to Rockhampton. He settled in a flat with a woman named Christine, who was said to have had an intellectual disability. The couple ended up moving homes after they were asked to leave the property due to their volatile behaviour.
Sorry, how's he getting all these women? What is it about Lenlen?
I do not know. Well, Marie, I don't know if they were ever in, you know, a romantic relationship or not.
Yeah.
She had been his pen pal. And Pearl, she didn't know anything of his backstory.
Oh no, I'm not saying they know about the backstory. It's like, even without that, what is it about Lenlen?
There's a picture of Leonard sat with, I believe, Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her face is blurred in the picture. Fucking understandable.
Yeah.
And his face on him, kind of head tilted down, and he's like looking through his brow, and it's like, look at this man. Don't let him into your house, you know? Don't let him pass the sidewalk of your property.
Yeah, but you can't go off of that, Megan. Like, there's photos of me and you where you look like you're ready to either smash the camera or punch my head.
No, that's... I look mental in photo. I do not photograph. It takes me a long time to get a good photograph. I have to be taking a picture myself, and it's a lot of work. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
You can't just snap a picture of me. It's God knows what's going to come out the other end of it. Like,
but like I'm saying, you can't go off of in this photo, he's looking through his brow. You got to remember, back then it was one and done with photos.
Yeah, but every photo of Leonard is bad. Like every photo, it's not just that's like, oh, that's a bad angle. Oh, he's got a double chin in that one, and it's not, you know, it's not a great angle for him. Every photo,
is it evil?
Every photo, he looks. I'm sorry, he looks like a rapist.
Yeah. Well, he was.
He's the man you're warned about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? With the sweets and the puppies and stuff.
Stranger
in the van.
Danger.
Yes.
And that, yeah.
Like, you, I take it when you looked him up, you saw his mugshot.
Yes.
It's brutal.
But I didn't look him up. I was looking up about the case and a photo of him came up. Because I was like, who the fuck's that?
That's Len Len.
Yeah, it was Len Len.
I tell you the other thing about Leonard. You haven't said it yet, and I thought you would. He's the Australian Richard Speck, this lad, isn't he?
I can't remember what Richard Speck.
Richard Speck, before we even got into kind of like what was highly publicised, like his kind of...
Oh, yeah, he just wouldn't stop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Len Len is the same. We haven't even got into what he's kind of... I say what he's arrested for. He's been arrested many a time.
Yeah.
But what was the most highly publicised aspects of his crimes?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, for fuck's sake, are you not tired? Because I am.
Yeah, Richard Speck, he was just taking the piss.
The thing is, I said it during the Richard Speck episode, and I'll say it here. I'm sorry if this is, you know, a bit much or confusing, or if I've gotten any of the timeline jumbled. Sources are, you know, they're stating different things, and it's hard to keep up with Len Len.
Yeah.
It really is. I'll tell you another thing. I even left out some of his convictions because just the sheer fucking amount of them. There's some more in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Leonard, he needs to have several seats, Neil.
What, has he got a big ass?
It means he needs to sit down. He needs to calm down.
Oh, okay. Never heard that before.
Have several seats.
Yeah.
You ever tell someone to sit down? Like, sit down.
Yeah, I've told someone to sit down, but if I would either think big ass, with what you just said, I'd either think big ass or politician with the seats.
It means you're doing so much. You need several seats.
Right.
You need to sit down.
Okay.
Multiple times.
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you?
You do indeed. Also, to do with Leonard, right? I'd never heard of him before, looking into the Natasha Ryan case. I don't even know how this case is more widely covered.
Yeah, people aren't usually... I don't know what it is, but Australian cases, they don't really... like, get Hollywooded, do they?
I mean, there's some Australian cases that are very, very well covered.
Yeah, because I remember you, didn't you say the thing with Australian cases, some of them are like fucking wild.
Brutal, brutal.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, with this one, it should be.
Well, I'll tell you what. Australia, let us know. Is this one of those cases that every Aussie knows about? It just didn't kind of get as well publicised outside of Australia.
Mm.
That could be the case.
Yeah.
Like in Ireland, Larry Murphy, that was a massive... like every Irish person knows about Larry Murphy.
Yeah.
But outside of Ireland, you don't kind of know about it.
Like Yorkshire Ripper, I don't know if that's worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
100%.
Oh. Well, okay. All right, I thought of a British one. Levi Belfield. Do you think that's like a worldwide... coverage?
I'd say some people know of it. I wouldn't say it. You know, it's not like the level of notoriety as Yorkshire Ripper kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, back to the story.
Mm.
We're now at the point where Leonard is living in Rockhampton. And as we mentioned in our last episode, this is where he commits a series of murders. Kira Steinhardt was a 9-year-old girl who loved to sing and dance. And she enjoyed recording herself singing to listen back to later. When the family began to grow and her mother told Kira that she was going to become a big sister, she was beyond excited to welcome her baby brother. And Kira was said to have been a wonderful sister who would have done anything for her brother. It was about 3:30 p.m. on the 22nd of April in 1999 that 9-year-old Kira was walking home from school. Her mother Teresa had only recently allowed her to walk the 30 minutes home on her own, and this was only her 10th time doing so. She had first asked if she could ride her bike to and from, but her parents were worried it'd be too dangerous with the traffic.
9 years old walking 30 minutes each way?
Yeah. I don't think that's unusual.
That sounds a lot for a 9-year-old on their own.
Do you think?
Yeah. Like, I was young when I first started walking to school on my own, but that'd have been no more than 10-minute walk. Half an hour, that's like 2 miles.
Well, when I was in primary school, 9 and younger, now it wasn't far from my home, but we used to just wait on our own for the bus. It was actually outside an off-license where we wait for
course,
the bus.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd say a half an hour walk, I think it averages like 15 minutes a mile for walking. But I'm only basing that off of, you know, where I grew up, the swimming baths, what I used to go to.
Yeah.
It used to take me 15 minutes, bang on, to walk to. And then when I looked it up, it was bang on a mile.
Well, I think, you know, this was in 99. I think a few years ago, it might have been more common. I think now people are quicker to kind of drive their kids everywhere.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that unusual. And then you also have to factor in, you know, the type of area you're walking through. Say, Kira, it might have been half an hour walk, but she was walking predominantly through residential areas or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in no way going after Teresa.
No, of course. I get what you're saying, though. When you hear a 9-year-old, and obviously you know where the story's heading.
Yeah.
On the day of the 22nd, Kira walked from the school to a newsagent's with her friend. From there, the friends parted ways and made their way to their own homes. Kira takes a shortcut through an overgrown allotment near a high school. It was here where she unfortunately came in contact with Leonard. Two residents of the area could see from their property Kira walking through the allotment and a man following not far behind her. They recalled having seen him walking behind Kira the day before and just thought, you know, it must have been her father.
Hmm.
But then they see the man strike Kira, knocking her to the ground. Now, for some reason, it took the couple 14 minutes before calling the police. I think perhaps maybe their immediate reaction was to go out and look for him before calling. That's the leeway I can give, and that's the only thing I can think
yeah.
of. Students at the nearby high school also caught a glimpse of Leonard as he trailed Kira. They described him as having a feral look and noted that he was smoking a hand-rolled cigarette.
That's everyone now, isn't it?
Pretty much. Well, not so much the feral look, to be
no,
fair.
No, not the feral yeah. look. I mean, everyone's on rollers.
I mean, there's a few ferals out there, but... When police arrived on scene, they made casts of the footprints and tyre prints that were left behind. A description of the man and his car was put out, and they quickly received a response from a prison officer who said that he had seen him that afternoon and he knew who this man was. Leonard John Fraser, who had previously spent years incarcerated for various sex offences. Of course, this came as no surprise to the police. I mean, just look at this man's record.
Hmm. You'd think he'd try and change his name between sentences.
What, like I said, John Lennon Fraser.
Well, yeah, he could have, yeah.
Could have done that.
Yeah. Or he could have gone with John Fraser Lennon.
Paul McCartney Fraser.
Well, yeah.
Could have.
Just drop the Fraser.
Ringo.
Why do you keep going for Ringo
you,
Fraser?
You don't want Ringo, though. It's a bit too, you know, unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Ringo. George, you know?
George.
George Harrison. We're going through the Beatles here.
I don't know that one.
You don't know George Harrison?
Which one's George Harrison? I don't know George. Paul McCartney, John Lennon, Ringo Starr.
Yeah. Who's the other one?
Yeah, I don't know who the fourth is.
George Harrison.
So that must be George Harrison.
It was, yes.
Right.
Anyway, the police go to speak with Leonard, and his car matches the description. And I mean, look, there's not much else to say. It's fucking obviously him, and he is arrested for child stealing. During a search of his home and property, Kira's blood was found on a knife belonging to Leonard, and multiple hairs belonging to Kira were also found within his car.
What an odd way to put it. Child stealing, yeah. Not kidnapping.
Yeah.
Stealing, like it's a fucking loaf of bread.
Yeah, again, that's just the terminology used.
Australia, Australia, again, sort it out. Child steal, child theft.
Theft of our children.
Yeah. Kidnapping, it's not a hard word, like. Yeah, so the guy who phoned up, I reckon he'll have said, right, it's that feral-looking gentleman.
Gentleman, no less.
Who's always got a rollie.
Yeah.
You know, he's always on rollies, even though it's cheap these days to smoke.
You know, what?
Well, that's why everyone's on rollies now, because smokes are so expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm saying he'd have rang up and gone, he's on rollies. Don't know why, because it's cheap to smoke. Because back then it'd have been cheaper.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah, back in there. Yeah, and it looks rather feral.
Rather.
Rather. Why do I always get an inkling, but you're trying to like correct my speech?
Oh no, when you use certain words, just kind of, I'm not expecting you to. Like when you said gentleman in reference to Leonard.
Yeah.
I was taken aback.
Well, as that review said earlier, we're respectful of the people in the cases. I could have called him a scruffy bastard.
Oh, so you're taking that to mean you're respectful of the killers as well?
Anyone involved?
Yes.
But, all right, that's out of window. Scruffy bastard, we're Rolly.
Yeah.
He's got a Rolly behind one ear, one in his gob. His fingers are yellow.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, while being questioned by police, Leonard spoke of a man named Squeaky. He told them that he had loaned his car to this Squeaky. Now, this was a load of bollocks, and Squeaky, the man, the myth, the legend, was just that. Leonard had made him up. Now, I'm not quite sure if Leonard was saying that Squeaky was another man entirely, or sort of, you know, this kind of alter ego thing. Either way, it was bollocks.
So, you make up a guy, you could say John Smith, or it's Joe Bloggs. No. You're going to get Squeaky.
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 No, but that's kind of fair, though. It's almost more believable, because we all know people with, like, stupid nicknames.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? It kind of makes it more personable.
Personal.
Personable.
Did you just put two words together?
No.
That's a word.
Personable.
Okay.
Now, his partner, Christine, she tells police that at about 4:30 p.m. on the day of the murder, Leonard had taken her for a drive. While out in the car, Leonard parks up on a dirt track, and she sees him take what she describes as looking like a large doll with blonde hair out of the boot. Yeah. So police head to this area to begin the search, but they find nothing. Then, 13 days into his holding, Leonard decides to tell the police where Kira's body was. It's believed that the reason why Leonard had withheld this information was in hopes that any DNA evidence would not have been able to be recovered after a period of time. With Leonard's admission, Kira's body was found. She had been left by a tree, only wearing her school jumper, and her throat had been cut.
Fucking hell.
Well, it gets a bit worse. When her mother was told that Kira had been found, her initial thought was that Kira had been found alive. Of course, they had to break the news to her that Kira was actually dead. Kira's mother also said that she was not allowed to see her daughter or ID her.
That, right. It would be horrific to see your daughter, but I don't agree with that. Let her see her, because she's not seeing her, so she doesn't know. She could be picturing a lot worse. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those that you cannot answer until you're in the situation. You know, from my perspective now, I believe, you know, say if it was you, I would want to see your body.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can never know.
Mm.
Do you think, I think we've talked about this before, do you think you would want to if it was me?
I'd have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for some people, obviously I completely understand why they can't see, you know, their loved one like that.
Mm.
But other people, it's like, I have to know that they're actually gone.
Yeah.
To accept it.
Yeah.
The entire fence line to where Kira had been found was shrouded in flowers, teddies, cards, crosses, and pictures. This was to pay tribute to the young girl who had once loved to sing and dance, and was finally old enough, and I'm sure incredibly proud of herself, to have been able to start to walk to and from school on her own.
8 hour each way.
We gotta remember, as a kid, that's kind of a big thing, getting that little bit of independence.
Yeah. That's when it all started going wrong for me, though. That's when I got attacked by a fucking crow. Fell down an hole.
Fell down a hole?
Mm.
So, what do you mean you fell down a hole?
So we had a park, public park, across the road from our house.
Had someone dug this hole
someone.
To catch you, child stealing?
No. Someone had dug it at some point. I don't know why it was there. So it was easily visible. But we'd had shitloads of snow. And I was only, like, I was very small as a child.
Yeah.
So.
Petite little fella, weren't you?
Up to my shoulders.
Yeah.
I was in the snow.
Right.
I was walking.
In this hole.
Yeah. So I was walking.
You're not doing the typical northern thing of I had to, up to my chin, walk through the snow.
Oh, no. You know, it was like.
Knee high.
Like A for shin.
Yeah.
Maybe. A welly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're about that deep. And I started walking and then fell down this hole. And my dad saw it happen out of the window and was laughing his fucking head off. I got myself out of the hole and then I went back in the house because I had to warm up.
Yeah.
Just been shoulder high in fucking snow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, without the snow, you saw the hole. You knew it was there. But once the whole place was covered in snow, you didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
And I fell in it. So I had to go home, get changed, and then go back out and get to school.
That's quite a story. Were you late for school?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I had a good excuse.
You fell in the hole.
I fell down an hole.
No one believed that. I guarantee your teacher did not believe that. Neil, why are you late? Fell in the hole. Fell in the oil, as you would say.
Well, they probably looked at me and went, yeah, I can see that.
Fair point, actually. Yeah, yeah. With you, yeah.
Yeah.
Fell in a hole.
Yeah.
Are you taking the piss? Are you actually taking the fucking piss?
No.
Fell in a hole.
I'll show you later. I bet.
This isn't a cartoon, Neil. This is your life.
I bet you can see it on Google Maps.
Right.
I'll have a look later.
So before Neil's whole story, we mentioned the entire fence line left with items to pay tribute to Kira.
Yeah.
Around this time, there had been heavy rainfall in the area. And so the SES positioned tarps over the fence in order to protect these items left by people who felt that, you know, they'd come to know Kira and wanted her to be remembered.
That's nice.
Well, her mother Teresa said, quote, Kira was everyone's daughter.
Yeah, that's really nice. I've noticed, do you know when we're going to work?
Mm-hmm.
We drive past, it's a tiny little shrine at the side of the road. Someone had obviously been run over years ago. There is always fresh flowers. They've got like solar light candles on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. There's always fresh flowers. Someone's going to that regular.
Yeah, I've literally seen people in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lovely. But that they didn't have to do that, putting the tarp up.
Yeah.
Nice of them. Keep the teddies dry.
It is Kim.
I was waiting for that shit because it's an Aussie case. Yeah.
I have to reference Kath and Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst TV show I've ever fucking seen.
Get a fucking grip of yourself.
I would soon watch Golden Girls and I fucking hate Golden Girls. That Kath and Kim is just... Again, Australia... Sort it out.
I think the problem is you have no taste. You know?
Yeah.
Unlike Kath and Kim. Now, Leonard. Leonard may have admitted to the murder of a child, but he didn't seem to like the idea of being placed in the category of someone who would sexually abuse a child. He said that during the attack he blacked out. He denied undressing and sexually assaulting her. He said that he had left her fully clothed. Detective Darren Lees said of Leonard, quote, "I don't think you'd want to meet him in a dark alley, to be honest. First thing he said to me was, 'I'm no child molester.'" I mean, that just doesn't seem to be true. You know what I mean?
I'd love to meet him in a dark alley.
It's also a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Just, "I'm no child molester."
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily say you were.
Yeah.
This is your confession.
I'll do that later. I'll go to the shop to get a loaf of bread. And as they're scanning my bread, I'll just go, "Oh, I'm not a child predator." Just randomly say it.
Yeah. It's the same energy as Leonard, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the first thing he said to this man. "I'm no child molester."
If they're like, "Is there anything else you want?" "Well, not a child." "One thing I can tell you for damn sure, I don't want a child."
Yeah, it's the overselling it a bit, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, I get you. You word it so well, so eloquent. On the 7th of September in the year 2000, as Leonard began his sentence for the murder of Kira, police start to link him to other murders in the area. And these were the murders of Julie Turner, Beverly Lego, Sylvia Benedetti, and the suspected murder of Natasha Ryan. While in prison, Leonard started to confide in a fellow prisoner named Alan Quinn. And Alan over there, he was actually working with the police.
Why do they always do this? They know, yeah. Right, every single prisoner is going to be selfish. They're all looking for a way to, like, get a bargaining chip.
Well, Leonard had known Alan for a bit, you know. He'd known him for a few years.
I've never been in prison. And I know it's a different world. Like, there's no ethics and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're all looking for a bargaining chip to get time taken off.
Mm.
So don't tell a prisoner, I did this, the body's there. Because they're going to be like, okay, I'll get a year off for that. I'll get 6 months off for that if I go and tell them.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, Alan was smart about it. And he did extract some information from Leonard. But we're going to have to wait for next week for that because we're actually going to leave it there for part one. Neil, where's your head at right now with old Len?
It's not good, is it?
No, not so much.
And now you've said it, yeah, it's the Aussie spec.
He really is.
Yeah.
Fucking, I mean, not looks-wise, but identical. Like, it's just kind of like, will you just stop doing this?
Yeah.
Can you just take a day off?
Pack it in.
Pack it up. Pack it in.
Yeah.
Don't let him begin.
Madness.
Not the band. Not the band, Neil.
Do you know what? I'm going to reserve my comments until we've done part two. Because I'll probably have more to add.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't want to speak until I know the full story.
Well, he's already such a bollocks right now.
Oh, he's a terrible person.
You're awful person.
Feral bastard with his rolly.
Well, I was going with the rollies, don't forget.
Yeah. Yes. His fucking orangey brown fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's only going to get worse. And yeah, I get it. Let your opinion, let it marinate, you know?
I've got one opinion. I bet he stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Oh, it's very hot over there. You'd be sweating a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But I don't know. Leonard could be a very clean person. He could be, you know, he could enjoy getting toiletries for Christmas, birthdays, possibly even a dinner party. I don't know.
Like, one thing I will say for Australians, you know how I keep saying the trend over there is mullets and tashes.
Yeah.
I can actually dig that. I think that...
You dig?
No. I think that is a weather thing. Because if you don't have a tash, you're just going to have a wet upper lip all the time.
Right.
From the sweat.
Yeah.
Same as the back of your neck.
Sweat catcher.
So that's why you have a mullet and a tash. so it like holds,
wicks the sweat.
Yeah.
Now, me personally,
there's no worse than a wet upper lip.
I would rather have a tissue and dry it than let my hair catch it.
But you can just wash your hair once.
You can, but while you're out, like let's say you're out for the day and you're sweating like mad and your hair's getting sweaty and it's getting that kind of texture from the sweat.
Yeah, but you go through a roll an hour with how frequent you'd have to use the tissue.
I mean, but your logic is hair, so your hair's just always fucking sopping wet then. For that's going to be uncomfortable, Neil.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer here is we shouldn't go to Australia because we haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah, and I ain't got a mullet.
I'm not doing a mullet myself now. I wouldn't suit it. I couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
And I don't grow a tash, so.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, isn't it? You do. You've got a good tash on you.
I have got a good tash.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Very good.
Thank you. So, oddity. And I know I said this last week. This better not be dick related.
It's actually not. Okay. No penises today.
Because last week you tried bluffing it, saying it was something to do with a mouse.
No,
and
I
then
didn't.
Turned out it wasn't a
mouse.
His
name was Mao. I never said mouse.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah. I thought you said mouse of something.
Yeah.
Like it was like a ratatouille sort of thing.
Yeah, but you were wrong.
Yeah.
You know? No, no penises today, but that doesn't mean we're done with them.
Right.
There's a lot of penises out there that need to be discussed.
Is it right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, today we're going to be talking about corpse fat filler. So, Neil, you're not a big fan of cosmetic procedures. You don't really like the fakery, do you?
No.
Well, what if you could reap the benefits using a more organic alternative?
Right. I thought this was going one way. I don't like the way I think it's going now.
What way do you think it's going?
I thought it was once they're dead, they get filler and stuff to keep them looking plump and what have you.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking there is twats out there paying for fat from fucking dead bodies going into their face. That's the way you're going, isn't it?
Corpse fat filler, or zombie filler, is a new form of both facial and body filler.
Twats.
One such product is Alloclay, TM. Alloclay, TM, is a revolutionary, ready-to-use structural adipose fat filler designed to restore volume and improve contour with no surgical intervention and minimal downtime.
Not affiliated.
No. Not affiliated.
No. Will be.
I'm just giving you their words, you know? Now, Alloclay is taken from cadaveric adipose tissue. The fat is put through an advanced cauterized washing and sterilization process where all genetic material is removed while preserving the protein and collagen, allowing it to be used for its new owner.
This is fucking disgusting.
Not into it?
Are you?
Look, I'm hearing it out. Okay?
You've got to be joking.
If someone was to donate their body.
Yes.
And say, have at it. Hang on, right. Let me finish the oddity.
Right.
And then we can have a little conversation.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel you're getting angry over this.
Yeah.
So it's said to offer a more natural structure and integration than you would find with a synthetic filler. So basically, with procedures like this, once it gets injected into your body, the body recognizes it and converts it to your own fat. So this sounds good, but some who have opted to donate their bodies have expressed their concerns. They want their bodies to be used for organ donation, something, you know, that could save another's life.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, here's the thing. Just because the fat is being harvested, that doesn't mean that the rest of your body will go to waste. Your heart can still be donated, but you can also give someone the gift of a fabulous new arse.
Fuck off.
Well, still, people are on the same page as you. Not everyone is going to feel comfortable and get on board with this. Ryan Ferdehurst, the Vice President of Ethical Services at the Centre for Practical Bioethics, said, quote, if people start restricting their participation because of fear of this, the harm may outweigh the good.
We need skin grafts. We need bone marrow transplants. We need organ donation. That is far more important, I think, than the cosmetic aspect. And that is a very good point, and it brings in the argument for why education is so important. Without knowledge, people often react fearful or combative. But of course, this is massively about consent and context. You see, to me, Neil, a body is essentially a vessel, okay?
Yeah. I don't
look
like,
at you. You just,
I don't
you're
like
not...
people who use that term, like, okay. My body's a vessel, body's a temple.
No, that's completely different.
No, I know it's completely different, but I don't like both of them. The people who say my body's a temple, shut up. And then the people who say my body's a vessel, they're the sort of fucking weirdos who think we're, the sort of person who'd say that are the sort of people who say we're in a game, like, and all that shit.
No, that's absolutely incorrect.
My spirit, once my vessel has died, my spirit moves on.
No, that, I don't believe that at all. You're completely assuming one thing, and it's the complete opposite direction of where my mind is. So I have no issue if someone wants their body to remain fully intact, that's how they wish to be buried. They believe in an afterlife or whatever it is that they hope for, wish for, believe in. That's cool. Good for you. And, you know, I respect your decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying me personally, once I'm gone, I don't need my body. I'm more than happy to donate it and you use it for, you know, whatever harvesting you need.
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say a vessel. I'm done using it now.
Yeah.
I don't need my heart. Take my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need my fat. You want to take it? Get a new horse? Go ahead. Plump those lips.
Right. The way I see it, and it's the way we've been moving with a lot of things over the years, recycling. So the only way you can sign up to get a fat ass from someone's dead body is you sign up. So So if someone wants the fat from you when you've snuffed it,
yeah,
they can have a fat ass.
Yes.
That they have to. By law.
What do you mean they have to?
Right, let's say... Right,
you're saying someone who wants the filler has to then in turn donate their body.
Yes, have to.
Yeah, but I mean, do you get what I'm saying? I'm not... It's not to downplay another person's view of their body after death, whether it be for religious reasons or just a personal preference.
Yeah.
Do whatever you're comfortable with.
Mm.
I'm just saying me personally, it doesn't bother me. Donate my body, use it for whatever research or the actual physical side, like take whatever organs, whatever you need.
Yeah, yeah. No. That's
my viewpoint.
I want to donate my body, but I'll be opting out of this.
Why?
Because I want my body to be donated to save lives. Giving someone a fat ass isn't saving the life.
Okay, well, here's the thing, right?
Mm.
Again, consent and context is incredibly important here. And educating people can help bring comfort and understanding. Cosmetic doesn't always mean vanity as such. Plastic surgeon Dr. Melissa Doft said, quote, "We use skin grafts to help repair burns and for breast reconstruction. We use rib grafts to reconstruct noses." So, when you put it like that, outside of the initial morbid shock, is there really anything wrong with this? Like I said, cosmetic doesn't necessarily translate to just vapid vanity.
Right. So where I'm at then. Okay, after hearing that. So say in the UK, you have a young woman who has a smaller breast size. And they go to get a boob job done on the NHS. The only way they're getting it is if, you know, they've...
Why is it necessarily the NHS, though?
No, I'm just using it as an example. I'm from the UK, so I'm giving it as an example of something I know of, right? They have to, like, go through, you know, the depressed and, you know, stuff like that. It can't be vanity. So I think with this, it has to go through the same process.
Mm-hmm.
Is this for a good cause or is it for vanity? If it's for vanity, get fucked. We're going through this for vanity.
Yeah. I do take your point, and I think people have to be careful with cosmetic procedures.
Mm.
But do you not agree that body image can affect people's mental health?
Oh, no, 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 it can. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it goes through that process. But the other thing what's going through my head, you're probably going to make me take this out, but it's a very good fucking point.
Okay.
Right? So imagine a man, yeah, he gets with, he's been with a woman years.
Yeah.
Yeah? And they're in a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
And he's...
I don't know where this is going.
Oh, wait.
It's not sounding great so far.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So he's sexually active with this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah? And she goes through this procedure.
Yeah.
And then she's got this big, luscious ass, and he's like, I can't wait to have a go.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, she turns and goes, it's actually from your mother. He's not coming back from that.
That's, I mean, it's fat. It's fat. Like,
oh, I won't come back from that.
Why is it that you can eat meat and eat the, like when you eat a rasher, yeah?
Yeah.
You can eat the fat off of that.
Yeah.
It's fat.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
It's not my mother. I wouldn't eat my mother's fat.
No, no, but listen, like maybe I'm simplifying it too much.
Yeah.
But it's fat. Do you get what I mean?
Nah.
Right, do you have an issue with sperm donation or egg donation?
No.
You don't have an issue with that?
No.
But that's from a person.
Yeah, but I would have an issue with donating it for someone to eat.
Okay, but the scenario you just gave was someone having sex with another person.
Yeah.
Not...
He's there slapping her ass, and then she's like, did you know I got the fat from your mother's corpse? Are you telling me that's okay?
I mean, in theory, yes, it's just fat. I get what you're saying. I get the angle you're trying to push here. You're trying to connect it back, that personal element that's going to like affect him. You're trying to
I won't get off fast enough.
Right. You're trying to create a scenario.
Yeah.
And with like the worst case, you know, which you can connect to corpse fat filler.
Mm.
Would it personally bother you? If I got my lips plumped up and I went, ah, yes, from your mother. Would you be like, oh my God.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And I've actually got another scenario here. I think our listeners are going to be like, he's onto something. Right. So I'm guessing this is like for vanity.
Yeah.
I take it this is an expensive procedure.
I'd imagine. I mean, fillers aren't cheap to begin with.
Yeah. So, right. I want to lose some pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say Kim, I found out Kim K is wanting a new ass.
Right.
Again. If I could put my name forward and be like, I've got a stone what I'm wanting to lose. So if you pay for the procedure, you can have my fat.
But Neil, it's not theirs anymore. Right. The whole point is it's gone through a process. They've extracted all the DNA there, yeah?
Yeah.
And it is now just fat. And once it goes into your body, it integrates and it becomes your own fat. Do you get what I'm saying?
No,
do you remember actually, Joe, this is a ridiculous argument to make because you couldn't understand that once you donate a kidney, it becomes that person's kidney.
No. I don't
want to go back to that, but I'm just saying.
I get what you're saying. And I'm not saying they suck the fat out of me and put it straight into Kim K's ass. They can do all that to get my DNA off it so it attaches to her DNA.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you're killing one bird with two stones. She gets the fat for her ass.
Yes.
And I have the fat sucked out of me.
Yeah. So what's your issue?
No, I'm saying I would be more for that.
From the living?
Yes.
Right.
Because you're actually helping people. You could have someone who's at death's door. They've only got 2 years to live because they can't even walk upstairs because they've got, you know, to that size. So that could save a life doing that sort of procedure.
Right. So can I ask you, because you're a bit judgmental when it comes to cosmetic procedures, you don't like the fake side of it. Given that this is not synthetic.
Yeah.
Would you, right, if we could ensure, you know, it was ethically done.
Yeah.
Are you more in favor of this?
Yes, but I think do it with the living, not the dead. Well, you can do it with the dead as well, but why aren't they doing with this with the living? If they can do it with the dead, why aren't they doing it with the people who need it to give them a better life? I've got you.
No, you haven't.
Oh.
That's not the discussion. You can harvest from the living. You can do that. But we're specifically talking about people who've donated their bodies and consented.
Yeah.
Right. So where I stand on this is I think, you know, it can potentially be a wonderful, you know, to be able to help, like this doctor, this plastic surgeon said, you know, to help people reconstruct and things like that. It's not always just the vanity side of it. Okay.
Mm.
Having said that, as wonderful as these procedures can be, there is always the ethical concern. I'm not downplaying that.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, if the person has consented, if we were able to ensure it's all above board, you know, everyone's happy to go ahead, why not smooth out a few lines, you know, pump up some ditties and arses? What's the big issue? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. But do you see where I'm getting at?
No, I get what you're saying, but I feel like you have to throw so many hurdles in to try and make your point. Like, you don't just want to argue against it. You want to go, well, what if this happened and what if that?
Well, that's just me.
Yeah. You're a complex fellow.